It's Pentecost. We heard read from the book of Acts, a story of high drama. And in the context, it's a story of high drama at a church meeting, which that might be the miracle right there. I mean, they're all there in one place, these followers of Jesus. And they're wondering, what does his death and his mysterious appearance, a little bit, then gone, what does that all mean for their future with one another and their future with God? And while they're all there in one place, out of heaven comes the howling of the wind, flames of fire resting on those present, filled with something called the Advocate, the Spirit. They began to speak in and be heard in speaking languages not their own. Out of their own individual control and under the power of the Spirit, they speak. They speak of God's deeds of power, we read. These Parthians and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia and the rest of the far-flung Jewish diaspora, they speak of God's deeds of power, heard in the listener's own language. And there is a new creation then. That new creation would bear the word ecclesia, would bear the word church. The birth of the church by the Holy Spirit, engulfed in the gift of language. I don't think that's accidental. The other lesson we heard first, out of Genesis, the story of Babel, where humans tried to reach the sky so they might, it says, make a name for themselves. Not for anybody else, but make a name for themselves. And the idea was they could do so because they shared one language. And they had the presumption that they were in control of their own future. All they did was for themselves. All they did was their effort to chart their own future. A future freed from dependence upon anyone or any God. They entertained this prideful idea that they could fully cooperate, so nothing would not be under their power. And even a structure that they would build would allow them to reach the heavens. Much like the story of Adam and Eve in the garden, who wish to be like God, who disobey, we see in this same attempt, they wish to be like God, they wish to make a name for themselves, and they're punished. They're separated from one another now by language. Unable to communicate amidst the babel, they become strangers to one another. At Babel, the violence that began with Cain's killing Abel now becomes the new norm in a world with no common language, where there are barriers to communication and barriers to community. For a while, we were just enough like each other. Then, after that we feared each other. We feared the differences between us. We feared the diverse languages and culture and patterns. So then follow strife and conflict and finally violence and death. But the descent of the Spirit at Pentecost brought a new kind of peacefulness. But did you notice it's not done by a kind of healing all the differences of language? There's no one language now that replaces the many. Even those who were speaking in languages not their own there at Pentecost, everybody else still recognized them. Hey, those are Galileans. They have their language and a history and a past and a culture. The Spirit does not obliterate the incarnation of who we are, who we were, our own past. Instead, it's an incarnate, multilinguistic community born to be for the world a witness to the peace instituted by the death and resurrection of Jesus. And that means we, here gathered, would forced not to speak one language, but forced to learn the language of the stranger, to learn the language of the outcast, to learn the language of Christ who comes to us, so that nobody would remain stranger to us. We would then be a people of peace in a world of violence. I don't know if you noticed, but the Holy Spirit is particularly creative there at Pentecost. Earlier on, the Spirit hovers over the waters at creation, the Spirit present in Mary's womb. And so now the Spirit continues to create, continues to recreate by making a people who weren't a people. Just as the Spirit breathed all creatures into being and yet whispered quietly to Elijah, "O Spirit that rips the forest bare," it says in one of the Psalms, "and yet breathe peace upon the disciples." In short, like John, we can declare the Spirit blows where it wills. Unsought, sometimes unwanted, intent on making something out of nothing. Creation out of nothing. I mean, because who would have imagined that there would be a new human gathering, Jews and Gentiles, convened to worship the God who rescued Israel from slavery? How could that happen except as a gift from God, akin to God's very breathing life in Genesis? The Holy Spirit has included even Gentiles into the promises that God made with Abraham and Abraham's followers ages ago. Just as Paul tells the church in Ephesus, "But now, thanks be to Christ Jesus, you who once were so far away have been brought near. Christ is our peace. He made both Jews and Gentiles into one group, one body. He broke down the barrier of hatred that divided his people." And so the book of Acts is really sort of a story of how this all sort of unfolds. How under the guidance of the Spirit, the church is given a mission to showcase that the violence inherent in all our babbling, all our isolation from one another, has now been overwhelmed by communion, by community, by communication, again engendered by the death and resurrection of Jesus. Now, if you notice, some people there who witnessed all of this going on thought that those that were possessed, they were drunk, out of control. Or at least they were in control by something that they had made, some power. Peter, of course, denies they're drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Simple proof that Peter has never been on the UW-Madison campus. I've witnessed the opposite. Then under that same power, Peter preaches. He draws upon the prophet Joel. It's a wonderful imagery to indicate there's a new age beginning. And it's interesting that that first sermon, his first sermon, would be the model really for all, for 2,000 years. He proclaimed that Israel's long hopes are now fulfilled in the person of Jesus. But do you remember where we left off with Peter? In Luke's gospel, he was unable to say anything faithful just 50 days earlier. He's encountered by a servant woman in the courtyard, and he says nothing worthwhile. Just denial. 50 days later, now he's talking. He's preaching. There's no real explanation for that. Peter the fisherman and his courage to stand up, because the Spirit started to blow. And so the inability to hear, the inability to speak and understand, the nefarious sin of Babel is now in its own way healed at Pentecost. And according to Peter's preaching, this giving of the Spirit was nothing less than the advent of a new age. In the former age, the Spirit just had a few people speak. That is, the prophets of old, who came to declare something about what the Lord's up to. But following on Joel, Peter says that one day the Spirit would come out, poured out upon all. That would be a flood, like the former days. But a flood of the Spirit's making, where sons and daughters and visionary old young people and old folks dreaming, all declaring God's deeds of power, that the Lord is Lord of all. Such declaration would mean that there would be, they would not let the violence and despair of this world have the final word. The Spirit would have the final word as to what's going on. It's interesting that at the Ascension, 10 days earlier, the risen Christ gave them one command. He told them to wait. Wait in Jerusalem. Wait. Be patient. The Advocate will come. The Holy Spirit will come. You will receive the same power that I have received, he says to them. He tells them to wait. They can't get the Spirit on their own. No effort on their end, no striving at all will make it come to them. This group of people so frightened, so scared, so huddled, people who've been jolted at the death and jolted at the resurrection of Christ, they have zero future of their own making. Wait, he says, just wait. Wait until God gives us a future. It's Pentecost. We gather to give thanks for the revealing of the Holy Spirit upon us, the body of Christ, then and now. It's also one of the days that we dare to find the courage to speak, the words to praise God, to speak God to God in words and music and prayer that are more beautiful than we ourselves could ever have devised on our own, so that God might speak to us in words and prayer more wonderful than we could ever imagine. Thanks be to God. Amen.